Hi, friends. Welcome to the Seek Holy Living podcast with Krista Svoboda. I am a wife to my wonderful husband, mom to my five precious children, and a friend to some amazing moms that I can't wait to introduce to you. Mothering is not a journey meant to be traveled alone. Join me every Monday for a new podcast where you will find hope, joy, and purpose. This is going to be such a special episode together because I have a privilege of introducing you to something that is a tangible item that you can bring into your home to be a blessing for your girls and to be something new to be able to use as a resource for your families. And I just love it. I love when I can present something to you that's not only going to be shaping your home in some way of pointing your children to the Lord, ultimately, because that's the most important thing, right? But especially in a tangible way of saying, and here's how you can literally put this into practice today. So I have with me today Megan Keaton and Sarah Fremont, who together create the Wildflowers Girls magazine. And it is a beautiful magazine that a friend shared with me. And I'm so excited to be able to share it with you all today. So let me first introduce Megan and Sarah. Megan is a mom to 8 children who are between the ages of 22 months and 16 years old, and she lives in Waco, Texas. And Sarah is a mama to 4 kids who are between 7 and 14 years old, and she lives in Nashville, Tennessee. And you are going to want to follow them on Instagram at Wildflowers Girls Mag, and you can check out their website, which is the same thing, wildflowersgirlsmag.com. And I will link all of those, of course, in the show notes below. But make sure you follow along with our Instagram because, guys, we're going to give away 5 episodes of the latest issue of their magazine. And, you know, the funniest thing is whenever I give any giveaway away, the first thing anyone says is, I never win anything. And this is the place I won something for the first time. And I never win anything. I'm the mom who says it. I never won anything. And I won one of their magazines and in a giveaway. And it was so beautiful. And I was so excited to give it to my daughter. I actually saved it because it was almost a holiday. I think it was almost Easter. So I saved it and put it in her Easter basket. And she loved it. So I'm giving a personal testimony from a 10-year-old daughter. She ate this thing up. I still see it out. And here it's October when I'm recording this, and it was from Easter, and she still goes back and looks at it and really loves this magazine. So you're going to love it too. And you're going to love Megan and Sarah. Thank you guys so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is going to be so much fun. So I want to just start off finding out what led you to creating this beautiful resource for girls.
So this is Megan speaking, and I was years ago just scrolling through Pinterest, actually, when I thought, I wish there was something for my daughter, my oldest daughter, I've got 4, that we could just look through together. She's a very creative person, loves to craft, loves to bake. And I loved the diversity that you can find on Pinterest. It's not, you know, all one specific craft. But I didn't want to sit with her beside me at the computer scrolling. So I thought, what if there was this print version where we took all the different ways that you can be creative? A lot of people think creativity is just drawing or just crafting. And really, there are so many ways to be creative that I wanted to just give a little glimpse into several different areas. And from then on, I just really started thinking about it all the time. Going to bed at night, nursing, I was just thinking about it. I started searching for something like it and couldn't find anything because I've happily would have supported somebody who was already doing that.
So that would have been a lot easier.
Yes, so much easier. So when I couldn't find it, I just started thinking, how can I make this?
That's awesome. Isn't that how the Holy Spirit is too? Like,
yes.
I'm just going to inspire you with this need and then just keep lighting this fire in you to keep creating. That's yes. Awesome. That's wonderful. So tell us about the Wildflowers magazine.
So every issue kind of follows the same content categories. We always have a gardening article, which is what Sarah writes for us. We have a seasonal bucket list. We have original poetry, short story, a drawing lesson, coloring pages, a baking recipe, DIYs. Science section has recently been added. Photography lessons. Just, we try to think of all the different ways you can be creative and kind of hit on those. And we add things as, like, our science, I just said, was recently added. So as we find a need or an area that we haven't covered, we'll cover that. We have covered music in the past and released a couple of songs online that went along with a biography we did one issue. So really just any creative sphere we try and cover.
Yeah. And I've seen too that you incorporate kids, like actual girls, into the creating sometimes too.
I've had
Greta Eskridge on here a couple times before with me. We've done a few podcasts together. And I've seen that her daughter has created some of the illustrations for your magazine.
Yes. Lily was a coloring page contributor with us. And that was, she just, I mean, the girls loved her coloring pages. She's so talented. And our first coloring page contributor was also at the time, 14-year-old girl. So we don't discriminate on age. So really, if you have talents, we want to use it. So
that's wonderful. I think
we do have readers also submit their work. So poetry, coloring pages, book reviews. And that's one of my favorite things to get, like the emails to get from readers. So
that's a lot of fun. I think that's one of the things my daughter really loved too, is that some of it was created by girls, but was beautiful still. And then that's one of the things, I can't explain this well enough just in a podcast because you can only hear it. So you need to go online and look at it. Go online. I will try to see if I can even do like a flip through maybe on my Instagram of one of their, the latest issues that maybe we're doing in the giveaway. So you can see what it actually looks like, because they're so beautiful that I think about how we are made in the image of God as the most creative being, that our God is the creator of all, right? And so I want to present before my children something that's going to cultivate a love for wonder and beauty in them, not just, oh, this is interesting, or like, this is inspiring, but I want their eyes and hearts to be opened. And you've really just captivated on that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. That was
I think
one of our goals.
One thing I like about what Megan's done is that she wanted the mother to enjoy it just as much as the child, so that it wasn't childish. It was very like high level for an adult to enjoy it alongside their child.
Yes. The thought behind that, or there, I have a specific quote from C.S. Lewis on that, which was a children's story that can only be enjoyed by children is not a good children's story in the slightest. And that was one of, everything in the magazine is very intentional, but that was one of our overarching intentions, was that it was beautiful enough to be enjoyed by all ages.
Well, and you definitely nailed it.
But even Megan, the physical aspect of your magazine is so lovely in terms of the paper quality.
You know? I was going to say the same thing. When you touch it, no child's magazine feels like this. It feels like you're buying something high quality. Like if you like and Free magazines, if you're a mom who knows Wild and Free, then it's the same like kind of a feeling, but it's giving such high quality stuff to our children. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. I did not know there were so many different types of papers until I started this magazine. And then I didn't even know there was special tools to measure papers with. So I learned a lot in the paper picking process, but
I do want to mention, Megan does all the covers and they are stunning.
Oh, they're so sweet.
Each cover, I'm just like, this is the most beautiful one I've ever seen. This one for sure is the most beautiful. No, this now is the most beautiful So
that's how I feel about every issue.
Number one fan. So,
Well, and I think that's such a neat thing how God has obviously shaped that in you and is using you even in the midst of the being in the trenches of motherhood right now.
Yes.
To be still creating this and designing this, because I think it gives you, you have a different eye for it because of looking for quality for children, because you're in the midst of it with your children right now. So you're literally creating quality resources for your daughters,
yes,
and their friends, and my daughter and, yes, her friends. So,
yes,
thank you for that. So let's talk about this. How are we shaping, by what we put in front of them, how are we shaping their palettes for what to appreciate in the world?
I think really by everything we put in front of them. We don't even have to be, the children don't even have to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And we may not, we may have blind spots that we don't see, but I think they are shaped by whatever we give them. So my kids know when we run out of our high quality grass-fed butter because they can taste the difference. So when I give them a piece of toast with a different butter on it, they're like, wait, are we out of our regular butter?
And it's not yellow anymore. What happened, yes, Mom? Why is the toast white?
Right. I did not have to talk to them about that or explain to them. We do once they say something about it. But if I'm continually giving them whole quality foods and objects and sights to look at and good smells, then they can identify when it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are doing with the magazine, is we're trying to show this, the world and different aspects of it in a beautiful way. And then when they come across something that is not, they're going to know simply because they've been given so much goodness.
So much richness. It's the difference of, like, if you've tasted, you've got your homemade brownie.
Yes.
That's your rich homemade, you know, with all the ingredients put together, and it's warm, and, yes, you know, the chocolate pieces in it are still melted inside or whatever. And then you have a store-bought, you know, brownie cubes.
Right.
You know the difference because you've tasted the quality.
Right.
And your other one isn't not a brownie. They just know this is different.
Yes. And your children aren't going to know until you talk with them, like, oh, well, this one's full of preservatives and it's been sitting in a box for so long. And this is, they just know that homemade brownie is good and they want the homemade brownie.
Mm-hmm. So is there any way that you can help paint the picture for moms? Because I think for moms who have tasted both, who have tasted the homemade brownie and have tasted the store-bought brownie, they know. But for moms who might be kind of in the in-between place of, like, well, I don't know if the books that we're reading are, there's this phrase in the homeschool world called twaddle. And it's really, I think, deeply in the Charlotte Mason world, probably, I would even say. But talking about the things that we put before our children, the literature or the even creative resources that are less than high quality would be referred to as twaddle. And once you grasp it, then, like, there's no other word to take the place other than twaddle. So is there any other way that you would help to paint this picture of explanation between something that's twaddle and something that's high quality when we're choosing what to put in front of our children?
That's a good question. I think what came to mind when I was reading over this was in reference to children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty easy to look at a children's book and see, wow, these illustrations are beautiful and these word choices are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then you have those books that your kids bring, mommy, will you read me this? And your reaction is kind of like, I don't really want to read that. Like, you're not excited about it because it's one of those twaddle books that was gifted to you, or you bought it because it had tractors in it and your little boy loves tractors, but it's not fun to read. Like, you read it once, but it doesn't, you don't have a desire to read it over again. But then your child brings you Make Way for Ducklings, and you've read that 500 times, and you would read it 500 more times because it's beautiful. It's just a simple, beautiful real life story with beautiful illustrations. And that's what came to my mind when I read that. Sarah, do you have any?
Well, one expression that I use with my children is popcorn. And I tell them when they're reading text or words, and it feels like popcorn going off in their ears because the words are bright and interesting and different, as opposed to when they're reading and it's he said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said, you know. But when they use interesting vocabulary and they can feel that in their sensories and their ears, and they know that this is something bright and interesting and higher level literature, higher level writing than the twaddle. And you can feel it. You can feel it in your ear. And you can feel it when you're reading it. It just feels good. And you can feel like that popcorn sensation of that's some interesting notes happening in my ear. So that's what my children kind of identify with, is how does this feel when they're reading it? And my 14-year-old has been reading Tolkien just like over and over and over because it's almost hard to go back to something else for him now because he's been saturated. He's reading the Silmarillion right now, which, you know, you're desperate for Tolkien when you start. He's like, I'm moving on to this. But I had recently purchased a brand new book that had gotten some good recommendations. And he's like, I cannot even read this. And he's like, Mom, don't mention it. Who it is. But, you know, he's been so saturated in rich literature that it's almost ruined him that he can't go back. And on a smaller scale, I've been when I read C.S. Lewis, those Narnia tales, and then I go to a different book and they're like, this doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like we're in our imagination as much, you know?
Yes. I know. I saw it to be true. We just recently finished a huge DIY project in our study that was our schoolroom that now we're needing to really combine our office and our study, our office and schoolroom into one space so we can have another bedroom, all the children. And so in this combination, we had to pack up all of our books. Well, we thought, I had in my mind, this DIY was going to be like a 6-month project. But it was a very big project and it has turned into, it's been over a year and a half. So we just unpacked all of our books. And when my mom was over with me while we were unpacking the books, and it was so interesting because there were certain books, like random Disney books. I'm not anti all things Disney. We have a lot of Disney, you know, sweet old Disney movies, but one of some random Disney, you know, Winnie the Pooh books, like, why is my shirt too small? And it's nothing bad. It is what it is, right?
Yes.
But then we start unpacking our other books, and there's The Woman Who Named Things by Cynthia Rylant. And when my mom pulls it out, I said, oh, Mom, have you read that? It's such a good book. This woman names all her things because she's so lonely and all of her friends have died. And so she doesn't want to have any more friends because they'll probably just die. So she's going to name only her things because they can't die. And then we ran into The Relatives Came, which is also by Cynthia Rylant. And I said, oh, that one's so funny because they all pack into the same room to stay together. And they talk about they could hear their breathing. And it's, and the life in my kids, when we pull out these books, there's a fall one we just got out called Too Many Pumpkins. It comes out every fall. They love it every year. The story of this old woman and all of these pumpkins that grow, they've probably heard it 10 times, but they could hear it so many more because there's life in it. And so thinking about, is this a life-giving thing? Do we come alive when we read this? Do I, as the mom, because like you said, with that first quote, I need you to send me that quote so I can put it in the show notes.
Yes, I will.
Because I think that's a huge key to this. If it doesn't make us come alive, it's not making them come alive either. It's just filling space. So we really can get rid of those space fillers, unless it's like the deepest love of our child's heart at that time. Of course, I'm not saying get rid of every tractor book for your tractor loving child. Right. But we can pick the beautiful things. So that was really good. Those were really good explanations. Thank you both. Okay. So let's talk about, how is this important in their walk with the Lord? Like, does this really matter that we choose this best of the best, thinking about our children's long-term walk with God?
Well, I think in Philippians 4:8, you have that, the whole verse of whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure and lovely and commendable, if anything is of any excellence, think on these things. And that, I mean, that starts from a young age. We don't just say, oh, now that you're older, you can have quality, beautiful things. We are supposed to be teaching our children from the time that they are born, and they are, you know, they're born persons. They are whole people that want beauty too.
Absolutely. Wow, that's great. So how do we actually put this into practice without going crazy? Because this is a hard thing, that it's so easy to see these wonderful things that other moms are doing and the ways that they do things, or something that maybe works really well in one house. And I think it's great for us to be inspired by other moms. Yes. We should be inspiring each other and spurring each other on to doing better. Those are my favorite friends. Like, my real life friends are the ones who make me want to be better. But how do we do it without going crazy in the process?
Well, I think you have to pick where you want to start. You don't overhaul your whole life. I remember being a young mom with just two children and being really down one day, thinking, wow, my craft time does not look like my friend Diane's, and my snack time is not as wholesome as my friend Amy's, and my bedtime routine is not as orderly as my friend Catherine's. And I had this list of people and things and the way they did things in their strengths, right? Mm-hmm. But I had combined it into one person that I was holding myself to. And it was almost this light bulb moment for me, like, well, they're not doing all those things either. You know, Diane has a great craft time, and Amy's got great wholesome snacks, and Catherine is very orderly, but I'm my own person with my own strengths. And that is a great thing about social media and being able to see into other people's lives. You do get to be inspired, but I think you have to be on guard to say, that's great that it works for them, but that's not going to work for us. And part of that is just growing and maturing and getting to know yourself and what your strengths are, what your husband's strengths are, your children's personalities. I mean, so much comes into play in that. So if somebody is really wanting to change something, I would suggest starting with one thing and really thinking about it. What is my strength in this area? Or maybe it's a weak area for them and they just really want to focus on that. Maybe their food has gotten out of control and they're just grabbing to go here and there while they're driving to activities. And they say, we really want to spend this season focusing on more wholesome foods. You can't change everything at once. So that would be my advice, is to just pick one thing to put into practice. And then when that becomes a habit, when that becomes a little bit more normal and natural for you, then move on to something else, add something else in.
Sarah, do you have anything else to add on that? Thinking about how we can evaluate these different aspects of our lives so that we can be improving. I don't want to say do better, because that sounds like we're failing where we are, but we are all where we are right now. So ways that we can grow without being like self-condemning or losing our minds in the process of trying to do everything at once.
Yeah, I think For my family, number one, I always brag that we are called non-joiners. We just don't join anything. So. Whatever you're doing, I don't care. I'm not going to be doing that. I like to have peace in my house. And in order for me to feel peaceful mm-hmm. in my house, I need to not do as much as everybody else is doing. So we're just not, I don't like schlepping babies around. And so I like to have, you know, our music teacher come to our home. I like to have things, you know, mainly happening at our house. We don't have to leave our property. But now as my children are getting older, they also don't want to leave the properties. We just enjoy our little rhythm that we have. And I like it to feel as peaceful as possible. So I want it to be beautiful. I want, you know, evening read alouds. I want that to be part of our rhythm. And so in order for that to happen, you know, our bedtime has to happen in a way that we can have time to read in the evening, because I want my children to leave the home, and evening read aloud was a part of their childhood. Mm-hmm. And it so quickly could just easily not be part of that. And I just want to have a peaceful rhythm where reading together in the evening is something that we do. And I just cut back until there's peace in my home. And I seem to be doing less, almost with homeschooling in particular, every year. I'm like, okay, you know what? That was fluff and stuff. The Fremonts don't need to do that. We're just going to keep a simple rhythm and keep it really peaceful in our house. And I just wanted to be a peaceful mother. I didn't want to be stressed out. Mm. But I do agree with you in that you want to have people surrounding you that are also, you know, inspiring. That's why I love having Megan as a friend. I think she is such an inspiring person. You know, with her 8 children and she's doing this magazine, you know, I think, my goodness, I could certainly come alongside with her and help her in this.
You have been the wind beneath my wings.
I think what I'm hearing too is that both of you are saying that you choose your yeses intentionally. So you're choosing intentional things to say yes to, intentionally saying, yes, this is where we're going to put our time because these are the areas we're going to grow in or that we need to grow in or just the things we want to be doing, dare I say, better, that we want to be growing in, because we should be growing as mothers. We should always be striving to do better. And as our family changes in different seasons, I think we should always be striving to grow with them, because it's not going to look the same in all seasons of life with our children.
Yes.
And something you said, Megan, that I thought was a really good point is something about a little snippet in one of the things about looking at the category you want to improve in and asking what is something you're doing well in it. Or at least something you said got my thought to that, because that is not my natural nature. My nature is to say, how can I do better? How can I do more like such and such or this person who's good at this? How can I learn from them? Which can be wonderful. But for me to first say, what is a way I am doing well is so important, because I think that then causes me to stop and be refreshed and realize I am doing well at this because this is what God has called me to do. And He's going to lead me into ways that I can improve.
Yes.
And I think something too, you mentioned picking one area. So let me just throw out a few areas and then I'm going to move us a little bit more to something a little bit different, but still in the same category. Okay. So some different areas, books, you could go through books and you could do this with your children or without, but to go through and say, which of these are excellent, whatever is true, whatever is noble, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do this with Philippians 4:8 in front of you and ask yourself with your books, which of these are, maybe some moms need to go through their own books and ask those questions about their own literature. This is not just for our children's literature. Let's do it with our media.
I do also with books while you're on that. I think there's sometimes books on shelves of women that maybe make them almost feel guilty that they're not reading them or not doing them, you know, maybe curriculum that they're no longer using, or that, even devotional books that they're not really interested in doing, but they're on their shelf. Sometimes
or if they were gifted them. I can't tell you how many things I kept that I was gifted that then like 5 years later, I'm like, why am I keeping this? Why?
Yeah. Yes. Cause there were some books that I would look at and it would almost, I'd feel a burden. Like I should be reading that, but I don't really want to be reading that. And then one day I just got rid of all of those books. And I just felt so much lighter. And I thought, well, that's, I feel better now because not only books that are twaddle, but books that are also, you know, feeling like a burden that maybe somebody gifted you and you're never going to do it. I have a friend who's got boatloads of curriculum in her basement and she's burdened by them. And I'm like, just let it go.
Just
like,
let it go.
You know, cause she wants to try to sell it and make all the money, but in the, in the same place, it's like burdening her with,
I think you need to fly there and just get rid of it for her, Sarah.
I have been known to do that, Megan. I will show up and purge your books for you.
So if you would like a trip with Sarah Fremont to purge your books, you can call her.
I did that for Megan, and I don't know if she's recovered from it yet. But
that's wonderful.
Ask her back. So
because you haven't needed it, right?
That's right.
That's right. Okay. So do it with your media too. Whatever media you're taking in, you could do it with your whatever shows your children are watching. There's different qualities in shows. Little children don't need new shows every episode. If they're watching something that's really high quality, one that I will introduce you to that's a beautiful show for young children is Benjamin Cello. Is a very sweet Mary Poppins-esque feeling live people show with Christian music and songs and biblical principles and truth. And I think there's like 16 episodes or something, not a ton, but that's plenty for a young child. They don't need to have, you know, 100 episodes of something to watch. If they're watching 100 episodes, they're watching too much of something anyway. So really do critically look at the media that your children are taking in. Your music. Go through your music. What music are you putting before them? If it doesn't fall into Philippians 4:8, really consider that. We want to give them the best because, again, these are all creative things and we serve a creative God. And so we want to reflect the character of God in the creative categories of life we're putting in front of our children. Okay, so then let's ask this quick question. So what if this all feels so overwhelming to a mom? Like, this is great. Everything's beautiful. You probably have tea and read poems all the time together with fresh baked organic grass-fed things. Where do I even start? Because my world does not look the same as yours. Where would you recommend that she start?
I would just go back to my pick one thing. Like, what does she want to, what is she drawn to that she wants to incorporate? Maybe she does want to incorporate poetry. Well, it doesn't have to be some elaborate thing. You know, put some water or apple juice or tea in some little fun little cups that you don't normally and read a poem. She doesn't have to spend hours researching a poetry curriculum and a poet study. Like, you can go into that and you can do that. There's nothing wrong, but just start small and with one thing. So if it's, you know, she wants to incorporate more art time or craft time, get out watercolors and paper and just let the kids paint. It doesn't have to be a full out lesson. Nothing wrong with lessons, but just start small and doable. Sarah,
I love that.
Yeah. Well, for me, prayer is really the most important thing in my child's life. And so I, every morning we sit down, we pray together. Everybody takes a turn. We practice praying out loud. We practice praying for each other. We go through the ACTS, you know, that prayer form. And beyond that, I'm like, everything else is just extra. If I show my children that prayer is important, that we pray for each other, we pray out loud and we're comfortable praying. You know, anything educational is like bonus, going on a nature walk bonus, being, you know, reading out loud bonus. But to me, it's like, if I'm not showing them the importance of a prayer life and practicing that discipline, then why even bother?
Yes, I agree that the foundation is really teaching our children about God, right? The Bible, mm-hmm. prayer, and they can learn whatever they want to learn. We try and tell our children, we're not going to teach you everything there is to know. There's no way we could do that. We know there will be holes in your education. There are holes in every education, but we want to give you the tools to learn whatever you want to learn for your whole life. Never stop learning. So we have had multiple seasons in our life where we are doing what we would call the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. We are praying and reading scripture. If we get some read aloud time in there and some math, we think, wow, we're doing amazing. Mm-hmm. Some of those times have been when we're moving. We've moved cross country multiple times. We've had new babies come multiple times. We've had sickness that lasts and lasts and lasts because of how many people we have in our family. And so there are many times where we go back to, we're just doing the bare minimum right now. And we think, I think my reaction is like, oh, but it, once we get past this, we can get to the better stuff, or not even better stuff, but we can get back to what we need to be doing more of. When really what I want the most of is teaching my children to know and love God and to love others.
Absolutely. And in the process, if we're pointing them back to the Lord, to know and love God, and we are placing before them a feast of beautiful things, of excellent things, of Philippians 4:8, then they will be drawn to the Lord and drawn to his goodness. And they will grow in relationship with him and in relationship with others. And those holes that are missed, like you said, there's been a spark that's been lit in them. So that's okay, because they're going to grow into adults who have this palate, this appetite that's been given to them to crave things yes. that are of the Lord, which is what we want. So, Sarah and Megan, thank you so much for being here. This was so fun.
Thank you for having us.
You.
I only wish we could have sat down for a real cup of tea and some yes. real homemade brownies. Now I've got this desire for tea and brownies. My kids are going to luck out this next week. This was wonderful, though. And I'm excited to get to share your magazine. So check out our Instagrams this week, and we will give away 5 of the latest issue of the magazine. I know when you get it in your hands, you're going to love it, and you're going to share it with your friends. And especially if this is a time that you're looking towards Christmas ideas as you're planning for Christmas for your children, this would be such an excellent, excellent gift that could continue through the year. They come in subscriptions, so you can buy a subscription where every season they get a new magazine. So your daughter can have this to look forward to as something that will be regularly coming to her, and so differently life-giving than something that you get one time and then is over in December. So I would really encourage you, mamas of girls, to think about that. And go check out Wildflowers Girls Mag on Instagram and check out their website and get a glimpse into all that they have to offer. Thank you so much for being here, friends. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of our weekly conversations. And check out our show notes below, where I have links to the resources mentioned on the podcast. I release a new podcast every Monday and additional content at seekholyliving.com, including a video of this conversation and a deeper dive into all things mom. Also, be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Seek Holy Living for more fun and conversation. If this was an encouragement to you, please share it with your friends.